It's hard to believe on this date, 12 years ago, I started my career at this amazing university, and how blessed I have been. I'm humbled to be asked to speak to you all today. When Vice President Vorking was extending the invitation for me to speak at devotional, President Reese just happened to stop by Keith's office. As we were discussing the invitation, the president shared the following advice with me. Quote, don't let your fear take away from cherishing the opportunity to receive personal revelation, unquote. I'm so thankful for his inspiring words of support and guidance. He and Keith are a great support and inspiration to me. This time of preparation has been an incredible personal and spiritual journey as I've pondered and sought inspiration to know what the Lord would have me share with you today. The idea that kept coming to my mind was how much love our Father in heaven and our Lord Jesus Christ have for each of us. Oftentimes, they manifest their love through divinely directed people who shape our lives in ways that we couldn't have imagined. This type of divine intervention has been a recurring theme in my life, though I often didn't recognize it at the time. I want to acknowledge and thank my wife, Dana, and my family for their unwavering love and support. They have been a great blessing in my life and have taught me so much in my roles of husband, father, and now grandfather. One of the divinely directed people the Lord placed in my life's journey is my son, Michael. Michael was born with a life-threatening condition as well as with Down syndrome and 28 years ago. But he did survive. But at the age of 3, he was diagnosed with autism. Michael is a great blessing to our family, and every day he teaches us about God's love and helps us think celestial. Michael is nonverbal, but he shows his passion for life and his love through his kind eyes, warm hugs, and engaging smile. He is one of those angels that the Lord put into my life to touch my heart and help me understand the blessing of serving and loving unconditionally. I look forward to the day when we reunite on the other side of the veil and I can converse with him and hear him share his love for the Savior and our family. Today, I would like to remind all of us that God is our loving Father in heaven and that he loves all his children perfectly, including you. He loved us before we loved him, and the evidence of his love for us is everywhere, including at BYU. My hope and desire is that my comments today will help you reflect on his love, especially how it is manifested through his desire for us to grow through study and faith, thanks to the blessings of this inspired university of the Lord. Since beginning here at BYU, I have come to understand the importance of education and lifelong learning, as they are critical aspects of the restored gospel of Jesus Christ. This is something I didn't fully understand or appreciate as a young person here at BYU. In studying about education in the scriptures and the words of church leaders, I have found some important principles. The prophet Joseph Smith taught, the glory of God is intelligence, or in other words, light and truth. This teaching establishes a direct link between God's nature and the concept of intelligence. As children of God, we believe we have the potential to become like him. And this process of becoming includes the acquisition of knowledge, light, and truth. Education is a vital component as we strive to reach our full potential. As members of the Savior's Church, we also believe that knowledge gained in this life is not lost at death, but has eternal value. The Doctrine and Covenants we read, whatever principle of intelligence we attain unto this life, it will rise with us in the resurrection. If a person gains more knowledge and intelligence in this life through his diligence and obedience than another, he will have so much the advantage in the world to come. The scriptures and modern prophets also consistently emphasize that seeking an education is a religious responsibility. President Russell M. Nelson taught this at BYU Idaho Devotional in 2010. Your mind is precious. It is sacred. Therefore, that the education of one's mind is also sacred. Indeed, education is a religious responsibility. Our Creator expects His children everywhere to gain an education as a personal endeavor. A core tenet of Christ's doctrine is that education is not just for personal benefit, but for the purpose of serving others and becoming self-reliant. President Nelson stated, "We educate our minds so that one day we can render service of worth to somebody else." This view frames education as a tool for building God's kingdom and blessing His children. Knowledge and skill acquired through education, whether that is learning a trade, earning a degree, or simply gaining a new skill, increase an individual's capacity to provide for themselves, their family, and to serve in their community and church. Church leaders have taught that education is about more than just a job or a degree. It is about developing the whole person, mind, spirit, and character. President Ezra Taft Benson said, "Preparing for life means building personal integrity, developing a sound sense of values, increasing the capacity and willingness to serve." This comprehensive approach to education highlights its role in fostering personal integrity, moral strength, and a deep appreciation for life, all of which are central to the righteous and meaningful existence. In support of our intellectual and spiritual progression, the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints places a strong emphasis on education, viewing it as a means for personal and spiritual growth. Elder Clark G. Gilbert stated, "Because of the Lord's love for young people, the church invests significant resources into a diverse system of educational offerings. Each CES school or program is unique in its approach and in who it is designed to serve. Currently, enrollment in the church education system, which includes seminaries and institutes, BYU Pathway Worldwide, Ensign College, BYU Hawaii, BYU Idaho, and BYU, approaches 1 million students. Each of these institutions has a unique and divine origin, a mission to bless its students and alumni through inspired teaching and faith-building activities. Today, you all have the blessing of being here at Brigham Young University, the flagship of the church educational system." Elder Kim B. Clark, former commissioner of the church educational system, stated, "We often talk of BYU as the flagship of CES, and so it is. It is a remarkable institution. A flagship must excel in what it does, but it belongs to the battle group. Its areas of excellence are defined by the needs, mission, and purpose of the battle group. It is not a ship unto itself. A flagship university in CES must defer to the Lord, the Spirit, and prophets of the Lord, ensuring that its areas of excellence are aligned with the needs of the church, and take action to use its expertise and standing to build up, defend, and protect the church. BYU is not just an affiliate with the church. It is an institution of the church. It is the flagship of the church's educational system." Brigham Young's university mission is to assist individuals in their quest for perfection and eternal life. Over the past 5 years, in preparation for celebrating BYU's 150th anniversary, we have been studying and pondering the prophetic words of President Spencer W. Kimball's BYU devotional talk titled, "The Second Century of Brigham Young University." President Kimball's prophetic direction and other messages from church leaders inspired us to develop the following brand narrative for BYU, which is titled, "For the Benefit of the World." We believe a world yearning for hope, joy, needs the graduates of Brigham Young University. As disciples of Jesus Christ, BYU graduates are motivated by love for God and his children. They are directed by living prophets and prepared to serve, lift, and lead. This preparation demands a unique university model at BYU. Belief enhances inquiry, study amplifies faith, and revelation leads to deeper understanding. At BYU, helping students develop their divine potential is central to both our teaching and our scholarship. As the flagship higher education institution of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, BYU strives to emit a unique light for the benefit of the world, a light that will enable BYU to be counted among the exceptional universities in the world and stand as an essential example for others. This statement highlights key attributes of BYU that make it unique in the world of higher education, re-emphasizing President Kimball's prophetic direction. As we now celebrate BYU's 150th anniversary and embark on the second half of the second century, what an excellent time to be here, to be part of this amazing prophetic work, to feel of the great love that the Savior has for this university. I would now like to reflect on God's love for each of you. We all have a unique journey that has brought us to this beautiful campus. Some of you represent multiple generations of family members who have come to BYU, while others may be first-generation college students. Some of you may be new to the church or of another faith tradition. Whatever your journey may look like, a common thread that has guided you, all of us, here is the love of our Heavenly Father and his Son, Jesus Christ. You are here for a divine purpose. You are in a place where people love you and want you to succeed. I want to share my journey back to the gospel of Jesus Christ and eventually to BYU, not once, but twice, and how the Savior's love channeled through divinely directed people guided me to this sacred place. I grew up in a family without any historical connection to or knowledge of BYU. So BYU never was in my educational plan. My parents were amazing people, great examples of unconditional love and service. My dad joined the church in his 20s. My mom was baptized in her youth through the influence of her grandmother. However, the gospel wasn't part of her home life growing up. As they started their family, their knowledge of the gospel was limited. Our family attended church until I was 10, when we moved to an area with very few members, and our ward was in another town. Without a close connection to ward members, our family drifted away from the church activity and the gospel. During my youth, my focus was on academics and playing sports. As I headed into my senior year of high school, my dream was to attend a local university and play football. Neither of my parents had attended college, but they were very supportive of my dream. Everything was going according to my plan. I had a very successful football season. I was accepted to the local university and was recruited to play football. However, the Lord had a different path for me to follow. He had inspired a young bishop, Bishop David Terry, to notice me on his list of inactive young men. I have no doubt the Lord put him in my life at this critical time to help guide me toward the gospel and a new path, a path that would touch my soul and change my life forever. I was surprised one day when Bishop Terry called and asked if I would accept a calling to be one of his assistants in the priest quorum. I didn't know what he was talking about. But before I knew it, I had accepted the assignment. My parents had always taught me that if you were asked to do something good, you say yes. I was ordained a priest, and each Sunday I would drive to the next town for church to assist the bishop with quorum activities and to bless the sacrament. I didn't know any of the youth in the ward. They all attended a different high school. The bishop then received another piece of inspiration and challenged me to get my patriarchal blessing. Again, I didn't even fully understand the purpose of receiving a blessing, but I agreed to do it. At the time, I had no idea how a few words spoken by the patriarch would impact my life. A few Sundays later, I drove to Patriarch Hork's home. I had never met him and was still wondering about the importance of receiving the blessing. As I sat there with his hands on my head, I listened intently to his words, and I heard him say, "You will have the opportunity to spend 2 years serving your Heavenly Father as a missionary, and you will feel the blessing of the Lord pour out on you and those who are near and dear to you." I thought, I don't even know that much about the church. How could I ever be a missionary? I kept saying to myself, a mission is not in my plans, regardless of what it says. I was not happy with this new revelation regarding my future. I desperately wanted to forget the whole thing, move on with my life, but for some reason, I couldn't get it out of my mind. 6 months passed. I had been attending church, but I had not yet accepted the invitation to serve a mission. I had so many reasons why it didn't make sense for me. With only a couple weeks before the start of fall football practice, I had an unusual experience at work. As I was reading the Book of Mormon one morning before the workday began, I was approached by an older coworker who asked what I was doing. I told him I was reading the scriptures. When he realized it was not the Bible, but the Book of Mormon, he quickly informed me that the book was not from God and that I should not be reading it. I was surprised by his harsh reaction, but in that moment, I received a strong impression that I needed to change my plan and that I must go on a mission and follow the Lord's plan for me. The thought overwhelmed me to the point that when I arrived home from work that day, I told my parents I had to go on a mission and that attending the local university would not help prepare me. My coworker didn't realize it, but he was the critical piece in pushing me one step closer to the Lord and a mission. The next question was, which college should I attend while preparing for a mission? I didn't know much, nor had I applied to BYU, so that wasn't even an option at that time. However, I had heard about Rick's College, so the following weekend, my supportive and loving parents and I drove from Western Washington to Rexburg, Idaho, to register me for fall classes. Just a few weeks later, I began classes, marking the start of my journey in the church educational system. The year flew by, and I had an opportunity to meet incredible faculty, students who helped me grow my testimony of the gospel. I was able to associate with other young people who were also preparing to serve missions. And by the end of the school year, I had submitted my mission papers and received my call. The Lord was with me and my family every step of the way. While I was at Rick's College, the promises in my blessing regarding my family, those near and dear to me, started to unfold. The stake established a new branch in the town where my family lived, and my dad was called into the branch presidency. When I arrived home from college, I had the privilege of being the first missionary to serve from this newly formed branch. My mission to Southern California was a very meaningful experience, helping grow my understanding of the gospel of Jesus Christ and experience the blessing of serving others. It deepened my faith and prepared me for the next stage of my spiritual and educational development. Additionally, while serving my mission, my brother-in-law joined the church. He and my sister were sealed in the temple. After completing my mission, our family had the opportunity to be sealed as an eternal family. I returned to Rick's College, walked onto the football team, resumed my schooling. Each day, it was a blessing to be around faculty and fellow students who loved the Lord. Upon receiving my associate degree, I was inspired to transfer to BYU to further my spiritual and educational development. Even though I knew it was a special place, I didn't realize just how special it was. Similar to my experience at Ricks College, at BYU, I was introduced to amazing, loving people who continue to shape me and my testimony, preparing me for my future journey in life. During my senior year, I was blessed to meet my wife, Dana, in our ward at Riviera. And we were married a few weeks after graduation before moving to St. Louis for my first job. Upon leaving BYU, I felt well prepared spiritually, intellectually, and professionally. I appreciated my experience at BYU, but never thought I would return. But as they say, never say never, especially when the Lord has work for you to do. 25 years later, I retired after an enriching career with a large global tech company. Another company recruited me to Arizona, where we began to build our retirement home. Everything was falling in place as we worked through the transition, but for some reason, the Lord had something else in mind for me. Our family had been in Arizona for just over a year, and something about the perfect plan felt off. That year, I was diagnosed with cancer. Reflecting on that time, the Lord was preparing me for significant change in my direction of my life. As I was going through this challenging period, I met a friend of my mother-in-law who had worked at the University of Arizona. She asked if I'd ever considered working in higher education. That idea had never crossed my mind, but I felt prompted to explore job opportunities at BYU. I found an exciting position in the Merritt School of Business. I was still recovering from cancer surgery, but felt directed to travel to Provo and meet with Dean Lee Perry in person. As soon as I met Lee, I knew I needed to be at BYU. Fortunately, he felt the same and took a chance on me. Lee was another special person who the Lord put in my life to help me return to BYU. It was not the first time I'd met Lee. I had an opportunity to take a class from Professor Perry as an undergrad student. He was a new young faculty member at BYU and brought great energy and passion to his class. Who would have known that this inspiring young professor would one day play a significant role in my life? I didn't. Lee ended up being a great mentor to me as I began this new second career that offered me an opportunity to give back and to learn the importance of BYU's mission in developing disciples of Jesus Christ. It was a major transition to BYU after years at a big corporation where the primary focus was driving business results. The pace and purpose was very different. Starting meetings with prayer, openly bearing testimony, and discussing the gospel while at work was unique, exciting, and refreshing. Over the past 12 years, I've also had the opportunity and cherished the opportunity to mentor and work with amazing young people, watching them grow and develop. With perspective I lacked as a young person, I now understand that the Lord led me back to BYU not only to recognize the important role of this sacred university, but to assist in the great work of developing disciples of Jesus Christ. I encourage each of you to ponder and reflect on the Lord's loving guidance in your personal journey to BYU and the purpose he has for you while you are here. I love what Elder Uchtdorf shared in his most recent general conference talk when he said, quote, "You are a blessed being of light, the spirit child of an infinite God, and you bear with you a potential beyond your own capacity to imagine. Your origin story is divine, and so is your destiny. You left heaven to come here, but heaven has never left you. You are anything but ordinary. You are gifted." In closing, I would like to leave you with a few things I've learned over the past many years since that day when a kind, loving bishop took the time to reach out to a young man and help him on his path of discipleship. Heavenly Father and his beloved Son love you unconditionally. The gospel of Jesus Christ is true. You can know of God's love by studying the scriptures and through diligent prayer. Have faith in your patriarchal blessing. The Lord guides BYU and other CES schools through his living prophets. You are in a place here at BYU where people love you and want you to succeed. Please remember that. You also have this opportunity to connect with many faculty, staff members, fellow students, and our amazing alumni. The next person you meet might open doors for you that will change your life. I bear witness of our beloved Heavenly Father, our Savior Jesus Christ, and their perfect knowledge and love for each of us. As you strive to do your part, they are there to guide you along your life's path. I have witnessed this in my life and strive to be the kind of person who can assist others on their journey. I love this university. My office door is always open if you need help while here at BYU. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.